Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. I was in Tucson for the most amazing, for now, Territorial Cup game ever. I had a rooting interest. I usually don't, as you know. I will explain why here in a couple of minutes, why I was rooting for one team over the other. We had a wedding in our backyard, which was amazing. It was even more amazing that my daughter is the one that performed the ceremony. And on top of that, it was for my older brother. And then we had a whole house full of people for Thanksgiving. So I'm worn out. I need a break. I would like to lay, there's a couch here that we shoot a lot of the TV show on. I would like to lay down on that couch and get a vacation from the vacation. I don't know how many of you are in the same boat as I am. And how many of you are coming off of a holiday weekend saying, Brad, I just need a break. It was, how would I put this weekend in terms of sports? In terms of sports, if Arizona State had not pulled it off and it was just a missed kick, and I know the U of A fans will disagree with me on this, then today would have been just like the darkest days of sports because, like, the Cardinals were a no-show for three quarters. They showed for a quarter and led and then got absolutely boat raced by the tune of 45 to nothing. just awful football. And the Suns, you know, they didn't do anything special. The Coyotes were really bad, so bad that late Sunday night they trade two of their players after they get boat raced 6-1. So there was really nothing good that happened, but as always, because I am the eternal optimist when it comes to sports here in the Valley. Of course I am. I will find some silver linings. Our opening commentary brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and you do that with life insurance. You do that by looking at your personal situation and say, you know what? I've got some money sitting over here. I've got some kids that are young. I should be looking at annuities. I should be looking at products that would make a lot of sense for me rather than sitting some money in a pillowcase or in a savings account. There's lots of ways that you can go to protect what matters most, your family. If something were to happen to you guys today, would it all be taken care of? It's pretty simple. Log on, get your free quote. Log on and check it all out at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. As we're taping this, N'Keal Harry has yet to walk in for his expected announcement that he is turning pro. That is going to happen in about an hour. We do this show at 10 a.m., 10:06 every Monday and a couple times during the week. So N'Keal, in all likelihood, is going to announce that he is turning pro. We will have Jordan Simone with us on today's show. Jordan did the sidelines for the ASU U of A game. I want to talk big picture with him. We'll have Jason Jewell with us, Sports360AZ.com recruiting expert. He's going to Skype in because today is the first open contact period leading up to the December 19th recruitment. With what Arizona State accomplished, what happened to U of A, with NAU's job being open, Jason has coaches that are coming in and out of his office today. So the recruiting buzz is really amped up. If there are some moves that are made on the coaching circuit that I will get to here in a little bit, could it impact as many as five or six kids, top-end kids, recruits, that have committed to one Pac-12 school, but the guy that recruited them, if he leaves, could all six of them look at becoming open again and being through the free agent process? There's a lot going on I want to get to with Jason. But first, let's get into what N'Keal Harry is going to do. There's going to be no surprise when Jordan comes in here in a few minutes, Jordan Simone. Jordan Simone interviewed N'Keal on the field right after the ASU victory against the U of A. And Jordan alluded to it. I know there's a lot of speculation about you turning pro and not playing in the bowl game. Well, no, there hasn't really been any speculation about that. It's been out there that he's going to leave. The smart move, in my opinion, would be for him to not play in the bowl game. It's very rare that you have a player as gifted and talented as N'Keal Harry that is now leaving. He's going to a second or third tier bowl game. When I say very rare, how many first round picks have left Arizona State for the NFL draft? Not many. And guys will play in the bowl game and they run the risk of getting hurt, which hurts their draft status, which hurts their business opportunity. It's no different than if N'Keal Harry showed up for a job interview and he was wearing a sweatsuit rather than a business suit if he's going to be somebody in the business world. You don't want to get nicked up right before your big audition. You just don't want to do that. And there's going to be those that don't get the business side of it and say he needs to be loyal to his school. Would I have a completely different tune and tone in, about this if, in fact, they had beat Oregon? Yes, I would. Yes, I would. Because now you're talking about Rose Bowl. You're talking about playing in the Pac-12 championship game this coming Friday night. And so, to me, going and playing in San Francisco against Wisconsin in a third or fourth tier bowl game versus there's a lot on the line for this school. There's not a lot on the line for this school now. They're going to go to a bowl game, and that's about as far as Nikhil needs to go on this. He does not need to play. If you're a player that is looking at being drafted later in the draft or a free agent, would I suggest you need to play to improve your status? Yes, I would. Nikhil does not need to do that. Eric, as you and I have not seen each other in like 5-6 days, so I hope you had a good holiday.
I did, likewise. And I tend to disagree with you. The Suns did do something. They beat the Bucks in Milwaukee. I mean, that's true. That's a big win. I don't know if you watched it. I didn't, but I did see the highlights, and I was like, wow, the Suns won in Milwaukee. But anyway, continue. Yeah, let's talk about AAC football.
You're right.
It's way more important.
All right, go ahead. So on Nikhil, where are you at on this?
Yeah, he shouldn't play in the bowl game. Doesn't matter. It's a lower tier bowl, as you mentioned, and he has bigger fish to fry. And the last player, I believe, Brad, that left early would be Will Sutton, I think. And he was not a first-round pick. I believe he was like a third- or fourth-round pick. So he should go. And I almost quote-tweeted you last night when you sent that tweet out about an announcement with Herm Edwards and a player and said, I can't believe Brandon Ayuk is turning pro. That's really exciting, but I didn't want to be that snarky, so... Just because, you know, I haven't seen you in 4 days. So
Brandon Reese, you know.
Yeah, right.
Remember when we did the bit? I don't know if you and I were together. We did the bit with Jake. It was an April Fool's Day bit. And we went on the air and said Jake Plummer is going to return for his fifth year to be a punter. And
that was before my time. So
yeah, ASU was not happy because like 2 days later, the stuff about Jake and a girl came out. And so I had one very angry longtime SID screaming at me over the phone. Well, you can only imagine.
Probably not the last time that's going to happen.
So. No, it won't be.
But I just wish, looking back on the teacup, it was an amazing game. But can you imagine if ASU had to win that game to win the Pac-12 South? The stakes would have been so much higher. Because it's like we do this every year, Brad. And most years, like you say, it's 6-5 against 5-6, or 5-6 against 5-6, or 7-4 against 6-5. Just once, and I think in 2014, it was 10-win ASU or 9-win ASU against 8 or 9-win U of A, and the stakes were just a little bit higher.
Well, and for people to send me notes saying you must have forgot about 2014, guys, when something happens once every 10 or 15 years, it's not good. If you want to pick on me, fine. I'm just merely sitting here. Like, I'll give you an example. Jordan and I pulled up at the stadium at 11 a.m. for 1:30 kick. Parking garage empty. Walk right to the field. Walk right to the gate. Might have seen 10 fans. Go right through the gate. Only one on the elevator to go up top. Get up top, everybody's, oh my gosh, there was a fight on the field, and look, there's sheriffs out there, and oh, it's just such like the biggest deal. And I'm looking around, and I have the numbers. I have the numbers from how the game did on television on FS1, and they're actually pretty good.
The crowd looked good on TV, and the stadium sounded loud. So I'm not really concerned about like all the pregame hype. I'm more concerned, like, if you said all that, Brad, and you're like, yeah, the stadium was half full, we'd have a problem. But it appeared that they had a good crowd. No. Okay, well then FS1 did a good job of...
Yes.
FS1 minus a sideline reporter and some guy calling the game that I absolutely never heard of. But no. It's all good. It's still better than being on the Pac-12 network.
Absolutely. So sure, yes, you're right. I mean, we were all watching Michigan get boat raced by Ohio State in the press room.
Yikes.
Just get destroyed. And the game kicks off, and most of the suites were empty, disguised as empty seats. But you're never going to see that. You're going to see, like, the first five rows. The north end zone where U of A's football facility is, seats might have been 60% full. If you guys are into that sort of thing, most people that I saw were walking out of the stadium when it was 40 to 21. Okay. So they're walking out of the stadium and you end up having Josh Pollock there who missed the field goal. More on him a little bit later on. Should never come down to him. I thought it was a poorly coached game by Kevin Sumlin. Kept hearing from the U of A, not internal, media, people that are around the program, that Khalil Tate is gone. He's going to get out of there and transfer out. That he and Noel Mazzoni don't get along. That they're just complete oil and water. And Kevin Sumlin and Noel don't exactly get along either. Now, there's people that could be exaggerating on that. The pictures that we have here, they look like it's pretty full. It's a good crowd. My thing is the buzz of this game, because the two teams didn't have anything to play for, to your point, it would be nice if there would be something like that. I've suggested moving the game away from it being just crammed with all these rivalry games. And the only thing I get is, well, it's just how we've always done it. It's a really bad idea. Really? Are you sure it's a really bad idea? Because when you're trying to get eyeballs, which is the most important thing, if you're trying to get eyeballs on your program and you're playing opposite of Ohio State, Michigan when the game starts, and then Auburn, Alabama is on, and Notre Dame, USC is that night, you're not going to get more than maybe a play or two if you're lucky on a national cable network. You're just not. You're not going to have a great time slot. You're not going to have people talking about you. So if you're one of those that just says, well, this is how it's always been done, and it's our Thanksgiving and our tradition, I would say that you need to move along. You need to open up your mind. It's like the people that say that Sun Devil Stadium is great. No, it's been a dump until about 3 years ago. It was a hole. Well, it's where I grew up, and you shouldn't say those things. You're not a very good Sun Devil. No, I'm speaking truth here. If you play ASU, U of A, when it's not Thanksgiving weekend, when students are not around, and finals are a week away, and if you play it in mid-October, and you play it before, you have your bye before the game, yeah, you're going to have some traditionalists. They're going to say, oh, well, this is really not great. It's not cool. What are you talking about? Excuse me. What exactly are you talking about? What is the harm in this? You know, yes. If I feel like this game could have more hype than what it's stuck, this game is stuck. Did it turn out terrific? Did it turn out great? Sure, it did. But Auburn, Alabama is going to have every national eyeball. Ohio State, Michigan is going to have every national eyeball. FS1 could not get out of the end of that game fast enough to get to Kansas State, Iowa State. Yeah, that's it. That's all, folks. See you later. As Eric said, they didn't even stick a sideline reporter on it. They had two guys. You're never going to have an A-list team. You're not going to have College Game Day ever look at coming to your big rivalry game when Ohio State, Michigan is going on. And I don't care what happened in years past. Well, you're wrong about that, because in 2009, that's the problem. You are just caught up in how things used to be. So, you know, as I look around at the game itself was great. It wasn't great. I mean, Jordan Hamm, who's now with us, Jordan is down at the N'Keal Harry press conference. Before you get to the press conference, did you think that leading up to about 13 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, it was a great game? Because you were down there on the field.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it was very one-sided up until about that last quarter and a half. But then all of a sudden you started to see Arizona go conservative. And yeah, they were so aggressive at the start of the game, and really just, you know, Sean Poindexter, seems like ASU didn't really have an answer for him. And then all of a sudden they just started going J.J. Taylor up the middle, just trying to eat some clock. And I think that's what really started to spark ASU to have these comebacks. And then you get a couple of quick turnovers, and all of a sudden it's a completely different game. And that's what fuels a 19-point comeback.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think it was a great – up to that point, I didn't think it was a well-played game by either side. Well, I'm looking back on it. All right, so you're down there at the press conference at 11 a.m. And Herm's supposed to be there. An unnamed player is supposed to be there. Eric already said it's Brandon Ayuk, who's announcing he's coming back for another season. Is that what this is about?
Totally. I think that the player that will be there, his name rhymes with Ali McBeal. And that might date myself a little bit. But,
wow. That does date yourself a little bit.
I think the dead giveaway is it's going to be regarding N'Keal Harry and his future. And I would fully anticipate that he's going to go ahead and declare for the NFL draft. He's a guy that, when you look at these ratings and you look at the, you know, early mock drafts, he's a first-round selection. I think when you get him at the combine, he's only going to test and help his stock even that much more. So it seems to be a bit of a no-brainer that he will go ahead and forgo his senior season and play or go into the NFL draft.
All right, you two are tight, right?
We know each other. We've known each other for quite a while.
Wait a minute. You did some big piece on him, you and Chase.
Yeah, so. I recently did a piece on him and Chase.
Does he
Lucas
follow
there.
You? Or does he? Have you ever bought him lunch or anything? I mean, is there a reason for him to say, "Hey, Jordan, how's it going today?" Or, I mean,
we know each other. I'm gonna put the relationship title on N'Keal. We certainly know each other. I think he would recognize me if we were walking in the hallway.
Yeah.
We've talked plenty over the years.
Yeah, you've never asked him for an autograph or anything.
Never.
Good. That's smart.
I'm an objective reporter.
That's what I would hope. You don't have a football with you in your bag saying it's just been a pleasure to know you. Because there are those people that do that. There are those people.
I'm in a very generic blue attire. Got jeans and a blue sweater. No maroon and gold. Nothing like that. No,
I would hope not. All right.
That arm's length approach.
All right. Well, have a good time down there and be brilliant. I'll talk to you soon. There's Jordan Hamm.
All right, sounds good.
Jordan is down at what's going on with N'Keal Harry today. We'll have Jordan Simone here in a couple of minutes, and then Jason Jewell. Before we take a break, a couple other things I want to get to. Josh Pollock, I wrote about him. I'm always fascinated by the guy that ends up on the other side of the coin. I wrote a little bit about Manny Wilkins. Those of you that have watched this show know I have sat here and said if they had a better quarterback performance this season, that this would be a no-brainer. This team would be going to a big-time bowl game. They have not. That, however, does not mean I dislike Manny Wilkins. I'm only speaking truth. And Manny knows this. They've had some close games where the big plays have not come up. Manny Wilkins, though, against the University of Arizona, won two of three times, including his last two outings. You have to, no matter where you are, and most people side with me on this one. Eric does not, which is fine. But many people have looked at Manny's inadequacies, and I look at it as he's a terrific story in college football. IMMC in the football banquet this Sunday night. I was rooting, full disclosure. Internally, I was saying, please win, because emceeing a football banquet after they lose to their rival is not fun. When they do the live auction and nobody bids a dime or very little, it's really not fun. So the way that the game finished out, and for Manny Wilkins to win two of three against his rival, I think is really something else to pat him on the back about. On the other side, Jordan Simone, then Jason Jewell. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now to turn our attention to all things Arizona State. It is very good to have Jordan Simone back in studio with us. Jordan doing a great job on the sidelines for Arizona State, making that transition from player to media, and he has big aspirations. He's going to get there someday. It may be sooner than even he knows. It is good to see you. You're all done up?
Yeah. Dapper? Always done up.
N'Keal Harry. So, 11 a.m. press conference.
Yeah.
So, N'Keal Harry, he can't leave, Brad. It's unfair to the program for him to leave early. And I'm thinking you people need to put down the cooking sherry. Quit nipping on the bottle. This is a no-brainer as a teammate, mm-hmm. Okay? Teammate, would you be upset with him if he says, I am not playing the bowl game?
You know what? I was talking to my buddy about this earlier this morning, and he was a former player as well. He said, you know what? I'd be kind of bummed if I had a guy that didn't play with me. And I said, he's going to the first round. He's going to the first round. He's leaving. He's done. You cannot risk the injury. You can't risk anything losing that amount of money and just the opportunity that he has in front of him. It's you can't explain it. I am completely 100% behind him. He needs to not play in this bowl game because it's not a Rose Bowl. It's not a Pac-12 championship.
That's the point. That's the point. If they beat Oregon,
yes, he would
we
play.
Have a completely different story
yes,
today, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, he would play. If it's a Pac-12 championship, you play. No question about that. You go to the Sun Bowl. You go to the Vegas Bowl. What are we really fighting for here besides pride? For the seniors in their last game, maybe with not that much draft potential, absolutely play it and play hard and play with pride and go out on a winning note. But for Nikhil, a guy that's guaranteed top five receiver going into the draft, leave.
Okay, you already know what he's doing based on me hearing your post-game interview with him on the field.
Yep.
Because you alluded to it.
Yeah.
So this is not like the biggest secret that's out there.
No, and it's funny because he brought it up, actually.
Yes, he
did. When I was on the field. I was going to ask him about that. I was going to say, is this the last time we're going to see you in a Sun Devil uniform? And before I could even ask that, he says, you know, I got a decision to think about now, and I'm in my head, I'm like, hey, man, we know you're gone. It's okay.
Right.
You're a Sun Devil legend. You've gave your everything for this university, and you've helped, you know, change the program around with the help of Manny and some of those other guys. So he's getting everything that he deserves.
Talk with Jordan Simone in studio. The sideline reporter for Arizona State football has done a terrific job, former Sun Devil, doing big things in the broadcast world. It's good to have him in studio. What do you make looking back on the win by Arizona State? From your sideline perspective, what do you make out of it?
It was, first of all, it was an unbelievable experience to be down on the field for that. Because the last time I was there in 2014, we lost.
You never played.
I didn't play in that game, no, because I had a bunch of injuries.
Yeah.
We'll not dive into that. But it was such a cool experience for me as a former player and to just be with this team for the whole year. To see them finish the way that they did in Herm's first year was awesome. Having said that, it was an experience I'll never forget, just to be able to watch Manny Wilkins in his last game as a senior, besides the bowl game, of course. What he's been able to do throughout this year, criticized early, and then making his, you know, kind of putting a stamp on the program of his senior year and getting the respect from fans and former players and his own teammates. So it was just an unbelievable experience.
Finished 2-1 against the U of A, Manny Wilkins. You cannot take that away from him.
Oh, absolutely. That's more important than any stat I think he'll ever have.
Objectively, you're sitting there doing the sidelines with Tim Healy and Jeff Van Raphorst in the booth, but Kevin Sumlin is going for these two-point conversions. Mm-hmm. They're having to settle for four field goals. Should it really come down to the kicker pushing one wide right, or can you look at the coaching decisions and say, what's going on here?
Yeah, I think you can definitely look at the coaching decisions. I think I said this on the broadcast as well, is that when we, I believe it was 32-40, I said they need to play like they don't have the lead. They need to go into the Mazzoni's whole playbook, and they need to run everything. They need to air it out. They need to start passing like they were, because
they were
killing us. They were killing us in the pass game for three quarters. But you got to give our defensive credit and defensive coordinator, Danny Gonzalez, credit on what they were able to do in the fourth quarter, just stopping them, completely shutting them down. Part of that does play into their offensive play calling, playing really safe. And we knew Khalil Tate was going to make a mistake at one point in that game, and it came at the perfect time. And then, you know, a botched fumble as well. It was a perfect storm for Arizona State to get the win.
Objectively, in my view, anybody who says Herm Edwards was a Ray Anderson golf buddy just will never get over it. Objectively, where the program is today, a year later, it's in much better shape. From my point of view, what about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I was maybe one of the only people that said this could be good for us. And I know a lot of people questioned it, and rightly so. You know, he hadn't coached in, you know, several years. I believe it was 10. And so he deserves some of the, you know, what is going on, Ray? Why would you hire Herm? But it has been great for our program, great for these young men on the team. And we're going to see soon how great it's going to be for recruiting. They got kids coming to them and knocking on their door, say, hey, I want to come to Arizona State. Which is, I don't know if that's happened here before, which is really, really cool.
In what way do you think it's helped that fans can't see?
Yeah, I mean, just behind the scenes stuff. Herm has done such a good job of teaching these kids just how to play the game. You know, you watch the way that we're winning, and you see Manny going and, you know, helping guys up. And even against Arizona, a team that we don't like, just they play with so much respect for the game. And I'm really excited for the trajectory of this program, in the fact that they're young, they have a lot of freshmen, and they're learning so quickly. In 1 year, mm-hmm. the progress that they showed has been unparalleled compared. I mean, I haven't seen anything like it.
I mean, Ashari Crosswell is yes. now a legend.
Yeah.
Because he comes yeah. up with
you get
a play,
interception
as a freshman, cup. And yeah. he finished the season yeah. on a very high mm-hmm. note without the bowl game.
Absolutely. And Merlin Robertson and Darian Butler and all these freshmen yeah. have just stepped up huge throughout the year. And if you look at game one versus, you know, the last game that they played against Arizona, they've grown so much. And they're freshmen. So we got them for several more years. And obviously, you know, Manny leaves, so there's going to be a quarterback battle in the spring.
Fifth-year transfer is my prediction.
You know, I was hearing that early, but I think they're going to get the number two dual threat quarterback in the country. And I'm not going to say his name. You guys can look him up if you want. But they got that kid came to them and said, hey, I want to come here. And so now they have potentially three quarterbacks that they're signing, and they're saying, hey, all right, who's going to be the future of this program?
Hmm. Interesting. What bowl game do you want them to go to? Forget about location. Mm-hmm. Just you look at it, this would be the best interest of the program.
I think Sun Bowl is probably the highest caliber game that they can get to as far as the competition that they would play. Vegas Bowl is obviously a potential. I don't know who they would play in that. That's a 6-win team. Usually we have 7. And then you look at the San Francisco Bowl. I forget the name of that one.
It changes every year.
It changes every year.
And I've seen Wisconsin attached to that one with ASU, which yeah. I think would be a very good matchup.
That would be a good game. I just want them to play a formidable opponent. I want it to be a good game, and I want these seniors to go out on a high note.
Good stuff. Appreciate you coming in, as always.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Brad.
Jordan Simone in studio. We'll take a break. Jason Jewell is on the other side. Stay with us. Time now to turn all attention to the Godfather, and that would be Jason Jewell, the Godfather of recruiting. It is always good to have Jason Jewell with us here on the show. What's going on inside and out in the recruiting world? He joins us via Skype. All right, N'Keal Harry, when you saw him at Chandler High School, did you ever believe that he would rise to where he is now going into the NFL draft and just rocketing up the NFL charts?
Yes, I thought he was a beast then. He's a beast now, and he's going to be a beast in the NFL. I love N'Keal in high school. He was obviously my top receiver back in the day when I was doing the evaluations, and I couldn't be more happy for him. So he had a great career at Arizona State so far.
Jason, when you look around at receivers that have come out of Arizona, I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but I think you've got the reach on this. Is N'Keal Harry the greatest wide receiver in the last 10, 15 years? I'm sure there's people out there saying, you're going to forget about this guy and that guy. But where would you put N'Keal in terms of high school to college in this state?
I mean, he's right up there at the top. You look at Christian Kirk's of the world, they're, you know, playing for the Cardinals, and you know, Marcus Wheaton, you know, it was a draft pick out of Oregon State. So he's right up there in that mix of guys. He's a very, very talented player, obviously.
Okay, let's go down the list of recruitment things that are going on. Ben Finley last week makes the commitment to North Carolina State. Did this surprise you?
No, not with his brother being, you know, the starting quarterback there. I figured it's a little bit early because he's a 2020 prospect that was getting a fair amount of attention. I know U of A had offered him here pretty recently, but you know, NC State jumps in and going to follow in his brother's footsteps and head out there and be their next guy probably.
Okay, so you look at junior class. Jack Miller's already committed to Ohio State. Now you have Finley off the board, J.D. Denson up at Pinnacle High School, Chubba Purdy over at Perry High School. A lot of talent in the junior class. Not many offers yet for Denson or Purdy. Do you expect that to pick up?
Yeah, I think the same situation is going to happen for Chubba that just happened for Ben. With I think Iowa State's going to be come in and jump in and offer him here pretty quickly, which I think is smart because Chubba's a fantastic football player that can burn you in the air or has the wheels to run on the ground, which we saw, you know, recently in some of their games.
In terms of other commitments that caught your eye during the holiday week, about the last 2 weeks, anybody else jump out at you?
Yeah, I think Nevada got an absolute steal, and Jalen Williams, a big wide receiver slash safety, outside linebacker type out of Shadow Mountain High School. They also got another commitment from Avery Carrington over at Chandler High School, another steal. So I think Nevada Wolfpack you know, getting two very good football players in Carrington and Jalen Williams. And then Casey Clanton over at Central High School becomes the third player in that 2019 class out of Central High to commit. He committed to Ohio U. And then Josh Pena, probably the most talented offensive lineman in this class, just doesn't fit the mold. He's, you know, about 6'1", but the Chandler offensive lineman committed to Navy.
Two other questions. We'll let the Godfather go. Jason Jewell with us every week. NAU, their job is open. I believe it's a diamond in the rough. Charlie Regal's name is all over it. He is currently an assistant coach at Cal. If he were to take that job, Jason, could it throw the five or six commits that Cal presently have in the Valley in play with him not there anymore?
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, Charlie is a very, very good and talented recruiter, and we've seen that when he was at U of A and now at Cal with six commitments from the state of Arizona. So you got the guy that's their lead recruiter in this state. If he does end up taking this NAU job or even gets offered, let's phrase it that way, if he ends up at NAU in Flagstaff, I do think that those six kids that are committed to Cal, you know, end up wavering a little bit. Other than Braxton Croteau, the DN at Liberty High School, he's set to enroll at Cal in January. I don't think that will change his plans.
And I saw on Spencer Brash's Twitter feed that Charlie Regal and two assistants were in his house over the weekend. So it's very clear that he's down here trying to make an imprint. Before I let you go, ASU, U of A, now it's a contact period. This is open right now where they can make contact. How busy within state? Who are some names that fans should be looking at that are still sitting on the board before next month's first commitment date?
You know, I don't know that either of these schools are really going after kids in the 2019 class still very heavily. Because of this early signing day being just around the corner, I think they're really just babysitting the kids that, you know, they have committed currently, trying to make sure that they do sign here coming up in the mid-December. You know, we saw U of A, I thought it was huge news yesterday, Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle from Marana High School, committed to U of A. He also ended up getting late offers from Arizona State and USC, but Morgan tweeted out that he is definitely signing with the Wildcats. So I think that's huge, huge news for them. And, you know, we see ASU, they've got more kids committed. And again, I think they're just trying to make sure those kids sign, you know, the Roman DeWise, Anthony Cooper, Connor Soli, players like that, make sure that they do sign come signing day here in December.
Good stuff as always, Jason. We'll let you go off that. I know your office is buzzing with recruiters. There's Jason Jewell. As always, thanks.
Thank you, Brad.
Jason Jewell with us, as we do every week. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. A couple of things before we get out of here. So Eric mentioned it earlier about the Suns winning a game against Milwaukee. I actually have a few positives that I wrote down because I watched back their game against Detroit yesterday. I do those sorts of things when every team in town loses. Cardinals lost, Suns lost, Coyotes lost. But I'm looking for positives. DeAndre Ayton now has 11 double-doubles this season. He's shooting 61% from the floor. Devin Booker had 37 in the loss to Detroit. So what has been a one-man team has started to become a two-man team. T.J. Warren got thrown out of the game at Detroit. They have Indiana tomorrow night. But it's one of those deals where when I watch the Suns, it's, yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. But I'm not going to sit here and just pound away on them like I've done in years past. They've got two pieces. I don't know if those two pieces can coexist. I don't know if you've got to take three or four parts and go find a top-end point guard, not just somebody to do something out there. But I'm seeing some progress in Ayton. While early in the season, I didn't like how he reacted, the things that he said. You might be one of those that says, Brad, he should average a double-double. But, you know, I've got to find something to grab onto. It's a long-ass season. That's the only way to put it. That's our show for today. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time.